Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up, 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on?
Oh, just watching this Diamondbacks game, yeah. Watching Robbie Ray and Joey Lucchese.
Bryce Harper last night. Man, the Boo Birds were out.
Oh, man.
And man, his, I was, man. Anyway,
and his response was perfect.
Oh, the home run up at Hellickson at the big run, base hit. He was going
the
crazy.
Wave out there at second base. The jumping like salute that he did when he was out
there. I don't
know
why he thought that anybody was going to cheer him, man. They hate you. Dude, they hate you.
I don't either, but man, if that's the textbook way for Bryce Harper to respond to that. Yeah, boo me all you want. Watch this. I'm gonna finish a triple shy of the cycle, and I'm gonna crush a home run. That ball came off that bat at 128 miles an hour.
You're gonna wish you had me back.
It was fun.
You're gonna wish you had me.
Nothing right now. The D-backs and the Padres. They're in the top of the fifth as the Diamondbacks are going for the sweep. Very interesting lineup construction today. For Torrey Lovello, Jake Lamb at third base, Christian Walker over at first.
That
didn't take long.
Yesterday.
Yep, that did not take long at all to figure out a way to get those two in the same lineup. But it's nothing right now as the Diamondbacks have a runner at second with two out. We'll keep you completely updated on this game as it goes on. In the meantime, let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story. Burns and Gambo.
I don't want to say we spoke it into existence.
That's what happens.
We feels like we spoke it into existence yesterday, right?
We talk about something, and the next day we see it everywhere. And I wonder how that happens, too, sometimes. But, yep, we did. Kyler Murray. You know, the one thing I could say with certainty is that what I have heard is that the Raiders are interested in moving up to the number one spot to get Kyler Murray. Mentioned this on the show yesterday. They did work him out. Everybody knew they worked him out, and there was some feeling, does Gruden like him? But, and I had thought and believed and was told previously that they had interest in Bosa, but this was about a month ago that if they would move up, it would be for Bosa. But after working out Murray, all the indications from the people I'm speaking with are that, yes, they would like to move up. They would like to get to number one. They would like to draft Kyler Murray. And all of a sudden today, you wake up and, man, that is blowing up in a lot of different places.
Yeah, there were two. And again, as we say, anytime we reference a mock draft, understand it's just a mock draft. And we don't, there's not a lot of accuracy on these things, but it is also kind of a reflection of the mood and the marketplace and the rumor mill and things like that. Not one, but two different mock drafts today have the Oakland Raiders moving up to the number one spot to take Kyler Murray.
I know.
And one of them is from DraftWire, which is affiliated with CardsWire. We reference them all the time on the show with Jess Root. They're affiliated with the USA Today Network. They've got the Raiders moving up to number one and the Cardinals getting the Raiders' fourth overall pick and the 27th overall
pick. And then they have the Cardinals with the fourth overall pick taking Quinnen Williams, the defensive lineman from Alabama, and then with the 27th pick taking an offensive tackle from Kansas State named Dalton Risner. So that's what they have them doing with those two picks, 4 and 27. They go on to say with number one, when Gruden and Mayock are calling the shots, nothing should ever come as a shock. Even trading number 27 and 35 overall to move up to this year's top spot for a new franchise quarterback. So DraftWire now has the Raiders moving up to number one for Kyler Murray, but they are not alone.
No, they are not alone. The MMQB, SportsIllustrated.com's football-centric website, projected trade. Oakland moves up to number one for Kyler Murray, and in exchange, the Cardinals would get the fourth pick overall in the draft and the 24th pick overall in the draft. So theirs is a little bit better in terms of a higher second first-round pick that you get. And in their projected trade, they actually have the Cardinals taking Juwan Taylor, the offensive tackle out of Florida, with the fourth overall pick.
We just took an offensive tackle out of Florida not too long ago, right?
Well, didn't they just sign three offensive tackles or offensive linemen out of Florida?
I don't mind getting an offensive lineman, but I think I'd probably try to get myself a pass rusher right there instead. Some defensive line help before, because considering I'm probably going to lose Kim Dichie and Chandler's, you know, starting to get old. I'd probably go defense there and get a tackle later on.
I'm sort of surprised they have the Cardinals. And I understand the Cardinals have a glaring needed offensive line and offensive line depth and to develop guys, and I understand that. But by doing that, if that's okay, let's pretend this mock is real for a second. Oakland takes Kyler Murray number one. They have Nick Bosa number two. They have Josh Allen number three. You're going to tell me that Quinnen Williams is going to slip all the way to five in this draft?
No.
It could happen. I've seen stranger things. I've seen things I didn't think could happen in this draft. I would doubt that.
I just think that what I take out of this is just the Murray phenomena. He works out. You know, the Cardinals go at the combine. They say Josh Rosen's our quarterback right now. Murray, Cardinals. Murray works out for the Raiders, right? And Gruden's got an A's hat in his back pocket, signed by Kyler Murray, we believe. And then Raiders are moving up. Raiders, like, it's almost like wherever he goes, that's going to follow. Wherever he goes, wherever he works out, that's going to – if he goes and works out for any team, it's almost like that team automatically, okay, what are they going to do to move up to one to get him? The Giants, the Redskins, the Broncos, it doesn't matter who. But the Raiders, it's crazy that right after he works out for the Raiders, now people are adjusting their mock drafts and now go, okay, the Raiders are going to move up to number one and they're going to get him. So forget about the Cardinals taking him because the Raiders are going to get him and they're going to trade up to get him. So all the thought, the Cardinals are taking Murray, it's a lock, the Cardinals are going to get him. Now it's like, no, the Raiders are going to trade up and they're going to get him because they worked him out and they loved him.
Here's something else that I kind of noticed, and I noticed this in a story that you sent me from The Ringer today about this. I've also noticed that nationally, people are starting to sort of open their eyes to the idea, what we were discussing last week, isn't it odd that every mock draft in the world, that everybody worth their salt in this industry is absolutely convinced the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray, when this time a year ago, everybody in this industry and everybody was worth their salt was convinced that the Browns were going to take Sam Darnold or Josh Allen.
Right.
And they're starting to, for lack of a better word, Gambo, there's a little bit of suspicion starting to set in a little bit with this hyper interest the Cardinals might have in Kyler Murray. Like, boy, you can't throw a rock in this league without finding somebody who is convinced the Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray. Isn't that kind of odd that everybody feels that way? Everybody thinks that's what's going to happen, when this time a year ago, the Browns fooled the whole world, took Baker Mayfield, and everybody was sure they were going to take Josh Allen or Sam Darnold. And it's got some people wondering if the Cardinals have been fooling everybody this whole time with this exaggerated amount of interest in Kyler Murray or not.
You know, one of the things in The Ringer, and I'll just read this part because it's harder to explain. I'll just read it. It says, the Cardinals have one of the most fascinating decisions to make in the history of the draft. And we all agree with that, right?
Yes, we do.
We agree with that. One that could prove revolutionary if done correctly. And that's the big thing. Are they going to do this correctly? The easiest and most direct route to winning in the NFL is by having a great quarterback. And the best way to acquire one is through the draft. We all know that. In an analysis of quarterbacks drafted in the first round between 1994 and 2016, Football Outsiders found that 16 of the 57 were classified as good, according to their metric. Only 8% of the quarterbacks selected in the next six rounds received that distinction. So it basically says that, I mean, you're in a prime spot to get a quarterback that could make a difference.
Yeah, they write, in short, the Cardinals might have stumbled upon exactly the right strategy. If you don't have a good quarterback situation, just keep picking one until you do. Because eventually you'll get it right.
Right.
Eventually you'll find the one that is the one you like, the one that fits the best. But then, same article, man, they make a really compelling case for keeping Rosen and trading Murray because of the volume of picks that you would get if you do that, and because how Rosen last year was just put in such a lousy situation. Defensive-minded head coach, one of the most boring offensive coordinators the league has seen in the last 10 years, and that if you just surround him with a staff much like the Rams have done or the Eagles have done or the Bears have done, you will get more out of Josh Rosen, and you're almost better off keeping Rosen and using that Kyler Murray interest to get as many picks as you possibly can
and
give yourself
as
many chances to screw up as you possibly can.
Can you look at this as it like a baseball trade or a basketball trade? Like, say the Cardinals have – say it like he could be their property if they want. So if they're trading the number one pick, they're trading Kyler Murray. Okay, they're trading Kyler Murray. It's basically like they have him if they trade the pick. They're trading Kyler Murray instead of and usually when you trade one player for four or five, a lot of people always say the team that gets the best player wins the trade.
Yes.
In any NBA trade, Major League Baseball trade, where somebody's trading the best player, that team usually wins the trade. It's hard to know who the players are in this trade that the Cardinals would get with all these extra picks. But if you are trading the best player, there is still a chance that you could trade this pick for five picks and still lose the trade.
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. All I know is this. On the Kingsbury Chronicles podcast on azcardinals.com.
With Mike Jarecki and Craig Grealoux?
No, I believe this one is with Lisa Matthews and Paul Calvisi.
Okay.
Yeah, so Lisa Matthews and Paul Calvisi, and they've been doing the Kingsbury Chronicles podcast. Apparently, Kingsbury at the owners' meeting was giving a coach's clinic to high school coaches. John Gruden was there. It's a clinic for high school coaches. John Gruden, the coach of the Raiders, is attending the clinic that Kingsbury is giving. Listen to the Kingsbury conversation that he had with Gruden. This is funny stuff.
He asked if we were going to take a certain quarterback from Oklahoma. There's about four or five high school coaches that asked good questions about the drill tape and what we do and philosophies. And then, you know, he raised up his hand. Hey, Kingsbury, I got one for you. You know?
I love it.
So it was pretty funny, but the coaches enjoyed it. And I thought it was cool that he stuck around because a lot of those guys, there were some head coaches that stayed in there and just wanted to get better, whether it was offensive football with Doug Peterson talking or, you know, Dan Quinn and Rivera came after us and did a great job. So it was cool to be a part of that.
Raises his hand in the middle of the clinic. Yeah, I got a question for you, Kingsbury. You can take that Oklahoma quarterback or not.
There's a 10 to 20% part of me that thinks that there is a good relationship we know between Gruden and Keim, between the Raiders and the Cardinals.
They've made a lot of deals together.
There is a good relationship there. There's a part of me that wonders, could the Raiders just be doing this to help the Cardinals, help the Cardinals out here? We're going to help push this along a little bit, our interest in Murray. So that way you'll be able to get a fortune from somebody else.
Wow, you just went. It's too bad. I know. Jordan just made the universal symbol for my head
there's
exploding.
There's a relationship there. It's a good relationship. They traded last year. Carson Palmer. There's always been a relationship between the Cardinals and the Raiders. In some way, could the Raiders be
a little colluding
floating
right there.
This to just, you know, to just, hey, we'll help you out a little bit here.
Look at you pulling the pin on that. Pulling the pin on that grenade right as we're going into break. The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft.
My head.
And you could be there to experience history in one form or another. Text the word clock to 620-620. It is your chance to win the trip for two to Nashville. For the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience, courtesy of Cherish. Cherish All Natural 100% Cherish Juice. Again, cherry juice, I should say.
Cherry
again,
juice.
Text clock to 620-620. Dominating performance for Zach Greinke last night. The D-backs pitcher also had a pretty good night on the mound, in addition to at the dish. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The pitch. And a fly ball center field. He hit it well. At the warning track, at the wall, home run Greinke. A three-run shot, the Diamondbacks shoot on top, 4-2.
Well, Zach has been taking some huge cuts this game, even that first at bat. And that time he got a ball that was real juicy, and he laid it.
There's a drive by Greinke. He's got his second. Way out of here. A four-homer night for the Diamondbacks. Greinke's got two. And it's 6-2 D-backs.
Zach Greinke brought his hitting shoes to this game. He jumped all over that pitch. That was a no-doubter again to left field.
You follow this game long enough, you'll see some things that you've never seen before. According to Baseball Reference, that home run, a straightaway center field by Zach Greinke last night, the first time ever a pitcher homered to center field at that ballpark. Which, when you think about how big that ballpark can play sometimes, right?
Yes.
Especially at night. To have a pitcher go deep in center field the way Zach Greinke did last night. It was an impressive night for Zach Greinke and the Arizona Diamondbacks as they even up their season record at 3-3. They beat the San Diego Padres 8-5. And Zach Greinke, not only 10 strikeouts as a pitcher, two home runs as a batter as well. It was a heck of a night for Zach.
I think I'm more impressed. I'm more impressed with the home runs. I mean, he hit two freaking home runs in a game. He's a pitcher, but I'm happier about more impressed with the home runs. Happier that after a bad outing against the Dodgers, he settled in. He had a quality start, six innings, three runs, did not walk a batter, and struck out 10. I was watching the game very closely. The slider, the fastball. I did see the fastball up at 92. I did see it get up there. We were talking about his velocity and things like that. He was up there. I didn't see any issues. He kept the ball down in the zone. I mean, he's got that 66-mile-per-hour curveball that just freezes guys. Slider was coming in well. Fastball looked good. I mean, changing those speeds from 92 to 66 had the hitters off balance. I was, you know, he did give up the home run in the first.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a little concern there, but I thought he settled down, pitched a good game. So I'm happy about that because, look, obviously they need him to go be a 15 to 18 game winner as their ace pitcher. They need him to do that. And yesterday, he was their ace.
I'm pleased that he settled down after the first, kind of much in a similar way to Luke Weaver and what he did against the Dodgers on Sunday. Now, I know the Diamondbacks didn't win that game Sunday, but Weaver had a really shaky first inning against the Dodgers and was able to settle in and pitch all right. Zach Greinke, after that first inning, after that home run by Renfro, he was really able to channel it and settle it down and bring it back in at the plate. Well, he gets the silent treatment from his teammates when he comes back in after one of the home runs.
Yeah, you know, there's a part of him that is very serious. He takes every part of this game extremely serious. So to see him smile, to see what he did, and see what the guys did for him when he came to the dugout, that creates a little bit of excitement and distracts you and gives you a little balance inside of the dugout where it's very, very tense. And I like those types of things.
Zach Greinke even made a funny when talking about the silent treatment that he got from his teammates after hitting the home run.
Told them this first time I wanted anyone to talk to me all year. And then they didn't want to talk to me then.
The one time I want you guys to say something to me and you say nothing to me.
That's funny.
Nice.
That's funny. That's good. Yeah, first time I wanted somebody to talk to me all year.
That's Zach Greinke for you right there.
I mean, he crushed that first one. And in the second one, he hit that into left field. And, here's the offensive explosions continue. Christian Walker hit a home run. Marte hit a home run. This offense has been damn good. I mean, damn good. Like, Adam Jones has been fantastic for them. Their offense was rolling again yesterday. And that's something that we probably didn't expect.
We definitely didn't expect. There's nothing probably
about it. They lost Goldschmidt, lost A.J. Pollock, lost Descalso. We weren't expecting that. But Walker, man, he had another home run. He hit it in the seventh. That made it 7-3. That's his third. He went 1-for-4. So he's batting .467. I mean, Adam Jones had two more hits. He's been fantastic. Yeah, I mean, I'm really impressed so far with the way the offense is swinging the bats coming out of the gate.
It's a huge surprise of this season so far. The Arizona Diamondbacks in their first six games have hit 14 home runs. That's the most ever through six games in the history of the organization.
Right.
They've scored 40 runs in the first six games. That's the 4th most in the history of the organization. To do that without the guys you're mentioning. Now, can they keep that up? It's early, small sample size, all that blah, blah, blah. I don't know if they can or not with the lineup they're rolling out there. I will tell you this. Today's lineup, and Torrey did not waste any time. First start against left-handed pitcher for Jake Lamb, but it does not come at first base. It came at third base today, with Christian Walker getting the start over at first base.
I asked Lobello about this yesterday, and it's obviously one of the things that, you know, that we're thinking about is what can Walker do with consistent at-bats? What can Christian Walker, and listen, there's going to be games where he goes 0-for-4 with two or three punch-outs, okay? Let's see, it's hard to be consistent in baseball. But what could he do if he got a lot of at-bats? Can he be a guy that hits for average and home runs and drives in runs? I mean, we don't know because he hasn't done it before, but I think they're intrigued. I think they want to see what could happen. You know, let's give him 20 games in a row, 20 out of 24, and let's just see if he's consistent, or if it's just a strong week for somebody. So that's the thing that I'm looking at because I think that he could be a real, not that he's going to replace Paul Goldschmidt, but I think he could be a good power right-handed bat for them.
Now, let's just, in the interest of fairness, and because it's going on right in front of us, let's update you on that game going on right now because it is a day game at Petco. Diamondbacks are losing right now to the Padres in the top of the sixth inning, 1-0.
Robbie Ray's pitched the gem.
Just happened. Francisco Mejia just had an RBI double with two out on to left field. Tatis scored. Austin Hedges got to third. He left them stranded at third, second, and third, and got out of the inning. But Robbie Ray's pitch count has been very manageable, very doable. He's only given up the one run, but the Diamondbacks only four hits so far on the day, and they're losing 1-0 in the top of the sixth right now.
Yeah, listen, I want to get into this Machado thing, and we're going to do that in a little bit, you know, during the show, because that Bush League, you know, play by Machado, we're going to get into that. But overall, you know, the bullpen last night, Lopez came in, Bradley came in, Holland came in. They did a good job. Chapin gave up a couple of runs, but the bullpen came in. And we've talked about Lopez being a big key for this bullpen because he's, you know, because he's got some good stuff. So he came in, got a big out. Bradley came in. Holland came in. You know, that's the way I think that they want to draw it up a little bit. You know, they want to get to that bullpen and make sure they get to, you know, those four guys in particular, Lopez, Bradley, Holland, and Hirano. Hirano didn't pitch last night, but the other three didn't. I know they got a lot of confidence in those guys.
All of the major mock drafts have him coming to Arizona, but why are the experts so certain that Kyler Murray is going to be drafted by the Arizona Cardinals? We'll get into that coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
And for that, we turn it over to Sarah Cazell on this Wednesday afternoon. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
What do you have cooking for us today?
All right. Manny Machado. Some D-backs fans are a little ticked at him right now. And I think you guys know why after the stunt he pulled with John Ryan Murphy. So should the D-backs get revenge on him?
Yes. I love revenge.
Same.
I love it.
Who doesn't love some good revenge?
Oh,
just for
revenge
the heck of
is great. Yeah. An eye for an eye.
Yeah. Well, 46% of our voters say yes, plunk him and plunk him today. 42% say no, not enough to get after him. And 12% say yes, let's get revenge on him, but let's wait for the next series.
Look at that. He's up right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah,
Robbie Ray, he's 0-for-1 with a walk today.
This is not debatable to me.
Angry Gambo. Get revenge.
Revenge.
Revenge is a dish best served cold.
It's unprofessional. It's not the right thing to do.
Jordan going through the audio file now of some of the best of Gambo so we can accurately reflect how angry he is on this. It was Bush League.
It was waiting for revenge. It's better to get it over with. That way you don't have to like think about it for a long time.
Well, no. What about the mental game? Like
did
Manny
she just go hatch now?
Manny is maybe thinking like, oh, is that a Ryan Hatch?
No. Yeah, we get that from time to time.
I am all y'all's bosses now. Okay, so what I was going to say is maybe there's a mental game there. Like Manny thinks, okay, he's going to get off the hook. No one's going to throw a ball at his head or behind the back, whatever.
No, baseball players have long memories. Think like elephants. Elephants have long memories.
Exactly. And so if it doesn't happen this series, maybe he's waiting for it to happen the next series. Is it going to happen? Are they going to be me? What's going to happen?
He probably knows in the back of his mind. And you know what? He doesn't care because he keeps doing it. He keeps doing it. He did it last year in the playoffs. He did it again last
He's a
night.
Bum.
He's like Grayson Allen.
He's a
when
bum.
Everyone in the world knows that you
oh,
do
yeah.
it, he still
yeah.
does
There's
it.
There's no doubt about it. He doesn't care.
Ridiculous.
He doesn't care that retaliation might be coming. He is exactly like Grayson Allen. He has embraced this role of being who
punk.
He is.
Yeah.
That's our poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page that Sarah runs. At Burns and Gambo is where you can find it. Mel Kiper Jr., draft expert, the man who revolutionized the job, basically, of draft expert.
But he did, didn't he?
He really did. I always love guys and gals who create jobs that did not exist before they came along. There was no sports business reporter before Darren Revelle. He was the first. There was no draft expert before Mel Kiper Jr. He was the first. So this morning, he's on Get Up this morning on ESPN, and he was asked the question, is Murray going number one to Arizona? A lock.
I believe it is. I just think of it for Cliff Kingsbury, Greeny, it's the ideal fit. You could say, well, Rosen would be okay, but who's ideal? Who's the best fit? You could say, okay, you think about Andrew Luck and where he would be. Andrew Luck was going to go number one to anybody that needed a quarterback. Kyler Murray, that's not the case. Kyler Murray is the number one pick because of Cliff Kingsbury. Had somebody else that needed a quarterback been picking one, maybe Kyler Murray wouldn't have been that guy. So he's not a guarantee for everybody, but I think for Arizona and Cliff Kingsbury, he is.
Just got the lock from Mel Kiper Jr., who is on again this morning with Doug and Wolf, exclusively here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, says, look, if Kingsbury thinks Murray's the best fit, you go with that.
It doesn't matter what I think or anybody else thinks. If Cliff Kingsbury feels that the best quarterback for my offense, it's not a criticism of Josh Rosen. It's saying, yeah, who's better? Who's the best? And if that's Kyler Murray, you go that route.
But it's not up to Cliff Kingsbury. We've made that point a dozen times, if not more.
No, he's got input.
Last month.
He's got input.
Of course he
does. I mean, if he's adamant about it, like, hey, I could work with Josh Rosen because I could work with any quarterback, but I'm telling you, oh my God, if I had this kid, I mean, 4,500 yards passing, 800 yards rushing, and we're going to have the most explosive offense in the NFL. I could work with Rosen, and we'll make it work. But my God, if I had that kid, we're talking about setting records with the offense we'll put up. We'll score 50 a game.
Yeah.
Like, if he says that and convinces you, like, I can, with this guy, I can do that. You got your coach telling you we might score 50 a game with this kid.
You do have to listen to that if you're.
You have to. You have to.
You don't necessarily have to base your decision off of that.
Yeah.
But you have to process that.
But Rosen, listen, he's not going to sit there and say I can't work with Rosen, because obviously he got hired to fix Rosen. He got hired because Rosen wasn't working with Wilkes and McCoy, so he got hired with no intention of being able to get Murray. He was going to the Major League Baseball. He was going to be with the A's. So when he got hired, it was all about making it work with Rosen. But man, if he goes into a meeting and they're like, okay, tell me the truth, be honest. And he's like, I don't even want to begin to tell you how awesome our offense would be. We'd be unstoppable. Like, nobody would be able to stop us. We're going to take the ball. We're going to go down the field almost every time. It'll be a shock if somebody has us go three and out.
Yeah.
Well, I will be able to use so many plays and weapons. Defensive coordinators will dread playing us. It'll be their worst nightmare when they've got to prepare for the Arizona Cardinals if I've got Kyler Murray. I mean, if he is adamant about my offense can do this with Rosen, but it can do this with Murray, well, then that's a big say. You've got to listen to that if you're the Cardinals brass. You have to.
I think it's funny that here's Mel Kiper Jr. There's a lot of draft experts now, right? I mean, everybody's a draft expert now, but Mel Kiper's the first. With him going on ESPN this morning and saying it's a lock, Kyler Murray's going number one to the Arizona Cardinals, it is a lock. This is either the most obvious pick in the history of the NFL draft.
Oh, we're all fooled.
Or the biggest ruse in the history of the NFL draft.
Know. There's no in between.
Now that Mel Kiper Jr. is on record saying that, there's no in between. It's one or the other.
Right.
It is either the biggest no-brainer in the history of Earth, or it is the biggest, greatest
ruse.
Trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Cardinals will have convinced the world that they're taking Kyler Murray.
It's one of the two, and there's no in between anymore. I mean, it's and Mel Kiper Jr.,
I'd love to hear the explanation if they don't take Murray and they why didn't you take Kyler Murray? Well, because then it'll be all the love fair with Josh Rosen.
Oh, absolutely. Here's how you answer that. If you're here, press conference, okay? Steve, was there any consideration to taking Kyler Murray with the number one pick? Josh Rosen is our quarterback. Josh Rosen has always been our quarterback. Josh Rosen was never going to not be our quarterback. We believe in Josh Rosen, and we never wavered from that belief, and that's why we A, traded the pick, or B, drafted Nick Bosa, or C, drafted Quinnen Williams. However you fill in that blank. It's so easy to validate your belief in Josh Rosen by not making that pick when you get behind that podium if you're Steve Keim. It's so easy because he's our guy. We stand by him. We believe in him. We never once wavered from that.
They'll be playing Stand By Me, the song in the background.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when the whole country was parsing my words over saying right now when I was at the scouting combine, we knew how we felt about Josh. Cliff knows how he feels about Josh. That's why Cliff is our coach, to get the most out of Josh. Oh, it's easy. You can profess all the love in the world, and it will be. It'll be an absolute love fest for Josh Rosen if they don't take him. And at this point,
Josh Rosen, you're like, do I believe you? I guess I do.
Well, and I guess that's the
April 8th, baby. Is he going to show up or not?
That's the question. If you're Josh Rosen, do bridges need to be mended? Does something need to be fixed?
No, because listen, if you felt that way all along, aren't you going to tell Rosen? dude, don't believe the hype. Don't believe what you're hearing.
You think, yeah.
This is all a business. This is a game. This is how it's played.
But you don't have to. You're not compelled to if you're the Cardinals. I mean, you don't.
No, but you may want to, you know, peace of mind.
Yeah.
You may want to give the kid peace of mind.
Mel Kiper, more this morning from Doug and Wolf. It was a good get, as we like to say in the business, to get Kiper to come on their show just a few weeks before the draft. Mel Kiper on Doug and Wolf this morning. He believes the Cardinals know exactly who they're going to take with the number one pick.
They know what they're doing. Okay, they know. The Giants, everybody knows what they're doing, who they're targeting, what they want. And Arizona, I said this last year, John Dorsey wants Baker. We kept hearing Baker. If John Dorsey feels Baker, he's going to take him. Mm-hmm. He's got the number one pick. If the Arizona Cardinals feel Kyler Murray's the guy, you take him. You got number one pick. You don't have to worry about Oakland. You don't have to worry about anybody else. So again, it's Kyler Murray against Josh Rosen. They already know who they feel is the best quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years. And that's the move that you make, and you move forward with it. And as I say, you don't allow anything that happened prior to you coming in as the head coach to affect your decision on who the quarterback will be.
I got to think by now you know if you're the Cardinals. Not telling anybody, but you know.
Yeah.
You know which quarterback you like the best.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, they like Kyler Murray the best. Out of the quarterbacks in the draft or between him and Rosen?
Between him and Rosen.
Yeah, you know.
They know.
You know. They have to.
They better. They better know
it's
by
the
now.
The one to the draft.
Yeah, I mean, if they haven't figured that out by now, you better put on a pot of coffee and work late tonight over there, fellas,
listen,
if you don't know that by now.
I'll tell you that there is such a gigantic difference between where they like Murray and where they like Haskins. And then Haskins, Locke, and Jones are all closer. The question really becomes is, with Rosen and Murray, is it close? Is it close enough to where you say we could win with either guy? Or is there a big, you know, a big difference,
yeah.
Gap between Murray and Rosen? Because if there is, then they have to take Murray.
Technically, they still have a chance to make the playoffs. But with the status of their goaltender up in the air, the odds are not in the Coyotes' favor. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
And it's knocked away from him. Backhanded, they score! Trevor Lewis, after Kyle Clifford pressured step on, and the puck went out in front to Lewis, and he scored. And also Darcy Kemper is down. Turnover behind the net. Clifford created it, got the puck to Lewis, and Lewis backhanded it in and then ran into Kemper, injuring the Coyotes goaltender.
Uh-oh.
Raro.
The stick.
What happened to the gimme? What happened?
Before
we talk about Kemper, what happened to the gimme that was like...
They choked on the cupcake. That's what happened.
That was I
distinctly remember saying yesterday, whatever you do, don't choke on the cupcake. Don't do it.
Did any of us think there was any chance? The Kings are the worst team in the league. Did anybody think that at home? They were at home against the Kings.
You had me convinced there was no chance whatsoever the Coyotes could lose that game. That's what I get for listening to you.
Okay, you had me convinced too, because you're the one who brought up Kings played last night. The Coyotes are well rested. They didn't play.
No.
The Kings got slaughtered the night before, 7-2 by Calgary.
You are
they
the
played
one
the night
who
before
made
they got
like
slaughtered.
There was no chance, zero chance the Coyotes could lose that game. I did not convince you. You were the one doing all the convincing.
Okay, well,
yesterday.
You fell in line. Yeah, and you know what? The Coyotes are well-rested. They're home. The Kings played last night. They had to travel. You got the Kings on a back-to-back with the same goalie.
Yep.
You're well-rested there. Now, they pounded him with 50 freaking shots.
That was the amazing part
about
that
game. This kid wouldn't let up a goal.
They peppered that kid. They outshot LA, what, 50-24?
50-24.
2-1
gave
when
up
it was
a goal,
all said and
gave
done?
Up a goal with less than a second left. They gave up a goal with less than a second left in a period that tied it at one, got behind 2-1, and then gave up the empty netter. And even there, I was thinking, all right, just get to overtime, win it there, so you get the ROW. I never in my wildest dreams thought that they could lose at home to the LA Kings in a game that meant so much. I mean, it literally meant so much. The Kings are the Kings have 69 points. They're the worst team in the West. Only Ottawa in the East is worse than them. But they're the worst team in the Western Conference, and it's not even close.
Yeah,
and they came here after losing 7-2, and they beat the Coyotes.
The bad news kept coming. The Avalanche, they beat Edmonton last night 6-2, so the Avs move.
Edmonton was up 2-0.
Yeah.
Edmonton was up 2-0 in the first period, and you were thinking, okay, they're going to, you know, what At worst, maybe Colorado could get to overtime. Then they scored six freaking goals. Like, it was bang, 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 bang. There's six goals, and they blew them away.
So the Avs now have a four-point lead in the standings with two to play. The Avs now have the Rowe tiebreaker, which is the second most important of the tiebreakers. So now any tiebreaker will fall to them. And the Coyotes have some, I mean, some serious work to do. Some serious work
it's,
to
I
do.
I mean, it's simple. There's four things that have to happen. One, Colorado's got to lose to Winnipeg. Two, Colorado's got to lose to San Jose. Three, Arizona's got to beat Vegas. And four, Arizona's got to beat Winnipeg. There is no other scenario that they can get in unless those things happen. They have to win two, and they have to hope they lose two. Because, you know, even like, I mean, because it's 4 points. I mean, you got to tie them. I mean, you have to tie them and then have the tiebreaker, which is the ROW.
Yeah.
Or the if the ROW is tied, you know, the you have the tiebreaker in head-to-head.
The only way for you to tie them is for you to win both of yours and for them to not get a single point the rest of the season. That's the only way.
Yeah.
That's it. That's
and then,
the only
yeah,
way.
And then you would pass them in ROW because then you'd have 36 if you win a regulation, 36. You could even, like, win in an overtime or a shootout if you're the Coyotes. You just got to get – you got to get 2 points. They need to lose both.
Yeah.
You could win one – it doesn't matter. The only way the Coyotes could tie them and not get in is if they win both games in shootout. And then they would tie them in points, but they wouldn't be able to tie them in row. So if they
if they win back-to-back shootout
back-to-back games,
shootouts, they don't get credit for that in
no
the row.
Right, so they would lose the tiebreaker with the ROW, regulation and overtime wins.
Okay.
That's the only scenario.
Thank you for working that through on the air. That's good. Because I know, because I needed that. I needed kind of that roadmap, whatever
the
it
roadmap
is.
The roadmap is if they, yeah. So, yeah, they can afford to, they could tie them in row and win the tiebreaker. So they could win one game in a shootout, but they got to win the other one in regulation
here's
or overtime.
The problem. They might have to do this without arguably their most valuable player of this entire playoff run the last 2 months when Darcy Kuemper, on the follow-through on that goal, and you heard the heater with the call, Bob Heathouse, the stick, the blade of the stick on the follow-through somehow got wedged up and under
and stuck
the
there.
Mask of Darcy Kuemper, and it got him right in the face, right in the eye.
Such a fluke.
And he went down. He went down in a heap. Trainers out there. He was down on the ice for a couple of minutes before he skated off. Here's Rick Tocchet, who we're going to have on the show at 3:30 today for his weekly visit. Here's Rick Tocchet with his update last night on Darcy Kuemper.
I saw him. I mean, it looked bad, but I think he's going to be okay. I mean, I don't know, like the status. Just was worried about his eye, you know. But he said, you know, he feels okay. But still, I think it's blurry. I mean, honestly, I don't know a ton of it. But he seemed in pretty good spirits.
But right now there are two levels of okay. Like, okay, I'm going to be able to see out of my eye for the rest of my life, okay. And okay, I can play on Thursday against Vegas, okay. Which okay is Darcy Kuemper? I don't mean to be like a jerk about it, but if you're a Coyotes fan, you kind of want to know if he's okay enough to play in that game Thursday against Vegas.
I've been in contact with them all day. They're waiting for the results on Kuemper. They're not going to know. They're going to know tomorrow. We are not going to know today. They put the eye drops in. They're going to find out if the eye drops work. You know, if he has blurry vision, he can't play. If his vision's good, he's going to play. I mean, the Coyotes have to view this as they're still in it. They have to view it, even though the chances of them getting in, I was looking at one NHL odds, had it at like 2.6% that they're going to get into playoffs. Because all Colorado has to do is eke out a point somewhere. In any of these final two games, just go to overtime in one of the, just be tied at the end of regulation, get a point. You could lose both games. Just get 1 point. Just be tied at the end, and then you're in.
And it's
over. You're in, and it's over. Coyotes have to go to Vegas and win, and then they have to play Winnipeg. I mean, Winnipeg's still playing for something. I mean, they're tied in the standings. Winnipeg is tied with Nashville for points, and St. Louis is only 2 points behind them. So I think Winnipeg's going to play hard. I think they're going to against both teams. But then San Jose's got nothing to play for. They're kind of locked in, loaded in where they're at. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Colorado plays at home. They play at home. They know they need 1 point.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in, and made tougher by the fact that the Coyotes were 0-for-6 on the power play last night, made tougher by the fact that they've got one power play goal in their last 22 chances. This offense
has been brutal.
Has just been that handicap for them to overcome all season long, and they've managed to survive as long as they have with that handicap, and it You can't. You're not going to win a lot of games when you're scoring a goal per game.
Listen, they don't score 5-on-5. I mean, they're the worst team in the NHL 5-on-5. They get shorthanded goals, but they're not a good 5-on-5 team. They just don't score a lot of goals. They've been able to hang around this race because of Darcy Kuemper, because Darcy Kuemper has been absolutely amazing. And if he's able to go tomorrow, he's going to go.
Yeah.
Because you got to at least give yourself a chance. You got to beat Vegas and then hope that Colorado loses, and then you give yourself one more chance, you against Winnipeg, them against San Jose. Odds are really, really against them. Really against them. That was a game they had to win. If they make the playoffs, I mean, again, four scenarios. They basically have to win two and Colorado has to lose two. What's the chances that that happens?
12 goals in their last 8 games. 4 of those came in one game against Minnesota. So you take those 4 out of the mix, they scored.
And 2 of those goals were very, very late because that was a close game until the late third period.
8 goals in 7 games. Yeah, 8 goals in 7 games.
Listen, and this is where I blame
yourself a chance.
This is where I blame ownership. How do you not spend any money to go get some help? With all the injuries you had, you couldn't spend a little bit of extra money to go get a player that could have helped. Everybody else is making trades at the deadline. You do nothing. Nothing at the deadline. I mean, it's what happens. You've got an owner who's, you know, selling the team and he doesn't have any money and they can't afford to add any payroll. I mean, because really, I mean, one guy could have made a huge difference because it's going to come down to just a couple of points here.
We're teaming up with Pepsi and Fry's Food Stores to give one lucky winner the chance to throw out the first pitch in the D-backs game this Saturday. We're also throwing in a $100 D-Bucks gift card and 4 premium tickets to the game. Go to the Arizona Sports page, the Arizona Sports Instagram page to be exact, for complete details on how you can win this amazing prize, including tonight. There are only 4 games left in the season for the Suns. Will we see any of the injured Suns players again before the end of this year? We'll ask their GM that question, James Jones. He'll join us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.